السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام and most respected brothers, and I've also been informed that this is going to be broadcast live to thousands of listeners over Radio Al Ansar. So therefore, brothers and sisters, in the month of Ramadan, you have been listening to this verse of the Quran Sharif from different speakers. Since this is my first Ramadan talk and bayan after my return from that holy land which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala chose, that is Makkah Mukarrama, for the birth of our beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that land which he chose for the construction of the first house for his worship on earth, that land which he chose for the revelation of the verses of the Holy Quran Sharif, and especially the first verses, and that land which he chose for the birth of the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, thousands of them, which includes the Khulafa'i Rashideen, and that land which he chose for so many other great things, and also Madina Tayyiba, which he chose for the resting place of our beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So since the return from that land, this is the first bayan on Ramadan. So I'm not aware of what you have heard already and what you haven't heard. But even if we have heard the verses of the Quran Sharif and those hadiths related to the month of Ramadan many, many times, since the purpose is practice upon those verses and practice upon those hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, therefore we should be listening to them repeatedly. But in the very short time that I have, I just wish to draw your attention to one or two important aspects of this month of Ramadan. As far as the virtues are concerned, they are well known. But one of the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam states, لَيْسَ لِلَّهِ Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam states, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ أَنْ يَدَعَ طُعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. That person who does not give up the speaking of lies and acting upon lies, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not in need of that person's giving up his food and drink. In other words, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not want us to just starve in the month of Ramadan or to go on some kind of a diet. Indeed, Allah Ta'ala wants us to go on a diet. But which diet? Abstention from sins. Allah Ta'ala wants us to develop within our hearts taqwa, God consciousness. The hadith of Ihsan is very well known. Hadith of Jibreel, as reported in the books of hadith, in which besides the other questions that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, one of the questions was, Mal Ihsan? What is Ihsan, Ya Rasulullah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ihsan is, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. That you worship Allah as if you are actually seeing Allah. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. And if, the meaning of which is this, that if you cannot gain that degree of devotion and sincerity and realization that you are seeing Allah with your own naked eyes, then at least this much must be in the hearts of every believer, that Allah is watching him. And this is not only in namaz that Allah is watching him, It is not only in his ibadat that Allah Ta'ala is watching him. It is not only in his zikr and tilawat that Allah Ta'ala is watching over him. It is in his business dealings that Allah Ta'ala is watching him. It is in his relationship with his wife and family and children that Allah Ta'ala is watching him. Is he abusing them? Or is he fulfilling their rights? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is watching him in his nikahs and in his walimas. In what manner are they undertaken? According to the Sharia or following the customary practices of the Western world, indulging in all kinds of sins, even in on a Mubarak occasion like that. So Allah Ta'ala is watching over him in everything. So this person who believes that Allah is seeing everything, jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. That when you are committing a sin, thinking that the people of the world are not seeing me, then at that time believe that Allah from above is seeing you. So this is what it means, that this person, he believes that Allah Ta'ala is watching him in every action of his, in every deed of his, in every amal of his. So therefore this month of Ramadan, this fasting is a training for that. Allah Ta'ala is training us to develop this taqwa within us. And once taqwa will come, then everything becomes very, very easy. And what is taqwa? Taqwa is not the performance of large number of rakats of nafil, or plenty of tahajjud, ishraq and chasht. Taqwa is restraining oneself from everything that Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have declared haram. Therefore it just comes to mind that normally I repeat one example of mine in every Ramadan. And that is, that if there's just 3 minutes left before the termination of the fast, just 3 minutes left, then at that time, even if the Grand Mufti of the world has to come here, or even if the Imam of Makkah Mukarramah or Madinah Tayyibah has to come here, or even if Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam has to descend and tell us that open your fast now, what does it matter? Just 3 minutes to go before sunset. Then you and I will become so strong in our resolve, will become so strong in our iman and faith, that the weakest amongst us will also say that you can be the Imam of Haram, you can be the Grand Mufti of the world, you can be whomsoever you claim to be. But it is the hukam of my Allah that I must not open my fast before the sun has set. The person with the weakest iman, try it out anywhere in the world where there is a dastarkhan that has been laid for iftar. Try it out in the basement here when they are making iftar. Try it out in any masjid of the world, even in the Haram Sharif. And tell the people 3 minutes before the end of the day that now what does it matter, especially in South Africa, 16, 17, 18 hours of fast you have kept. So now what does it matter if you open your fast 3 minutes before sunset? So the person with the weakest iman will also say that I cannot open my fast because it is the hukam of my Allah, my creator, my sustainer, my Rabb, in whose hands my life lies, in whose hands my health lies, in whose hands my sustenance lies. He who has blessed me with my sight, with my hearing, with my speech, with my heart, liver and lungs functioning. It is his hukam, it is his order that I must only open my fast after sunset. So therefore I cannot obey you, I cannot listen to you. Is this not our iman at the time of iftar? So what is this training us? The training that we are being given is this, that just as we became so strong at the time of iftar that we are not prepared to open our fast 3 minutes before time, that is how strong our iman was, must be in every department of our life. If a person is going to make $1 million by speaking a lie, just one word of lie, but he knows he can make $1 million, then at that time he says that my iman governs me, and it is my Allah's hukam that you are not going to speak a lie, because if you are going to take this $1 million worth of gold or silver or notes by speaking a lie, then your Allah will become displeased and he has prohibited it. So this person was so strong at the time of iftar, this is what he should be doing even at that time. That if he is tempted by stolen goods, if he is tempted by anything else which is haram, then at that time he says, it is my Allah's hukam, whose hukam I followed in my fasting. That same Allah, it is his command that I must not steal. That same Allah, it is his command that I must not gamble. So no matter how much I may gain through the gambling machines, but it is my Allah's hukam that I must not gamble. No matter how enjoyable and pleasurable life may seem to me, indulging in illicit relationship, but it is my Allah's hukam that I must not look at haram, at whatever is haram. I must not cast lustful glances at those women that are walking in the streets, no matter how scantily they may be dressed. I must not indulge in adultery and fornication, no matter how pleasurable it may seem. Because it is that same Allah's hukam, which Allah gave me that hukam that you must break your fast after the sunset. So this is the training that we are getting. So if after fasting for 30 days or 20 days, after having kept these 20 days of fast, if we have not as yet developed that consciousness, then it means that there is a great weakness, that the only thing that we have understood fasting to mean is that we must not eat and we must not drink from dawn to sunset. Whereas this is the training that it is giving. Therefore, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Man lam yada qawla az-zur wal amala bihi, falaysa lillahi haja an yada'a ta'amahu wa sharaba." Which can be expanded to mean, to cover so many things. That person who is not giving up lies, that person who is not giving up speaking, taking false oath and qasam in his business or in his other dealings, that person who is not giving up his ghibat and backbiting of people, that person who is still suffering from complexes, he considers himself as superior to others, whereas we do not know what is going to be Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's judgment with regards to us in the hereafter. We do not even know how are we going to die, in which condition we are going to die. It is only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who knows where we are going to die, how we are going to die, when we are going to die. So therefore the person who does not even know about his death, how it is going to take place, how can he suffer from superiority complexes? We can be making namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, ibadat, all these things we can be doing. Inshallah we'll get the reward and sawab. But because of that, to consider ourselves superior to others, how can we ever think, as Hazrat Shah Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayhi says, "Hum aise rahe ya ke waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe." In this world, no matter what people may call us, they can call us Mufti Sahab and Qari Sahab, they can call us professors and doctors, they can call us teachers and lawyers, they can call us cabinet ministers and MPs, they can call us presidents and governors and kings. Whatever title they give to us in this world, that is immaterial. The real concern of a believer is this, that what title will my Allah give me on the day of judgment? If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is displeased with me because I was not doing the action sincerely for His pleasure, I had worldly motivation, I had greed, I had other kinds of desires and passions which were not according to Sharia, so then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not accept all that. So therefore this month of Ramadan, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave us, because that to make that niyat, to make that firm determination, that, oh Allah, whatever we may have been in our life prior to this Ramadan, but in this month of Ramadan, we are sincerely repenting over all the sins that we have committed. And this is the reason why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives us occasions like the month of Ramadan and some big nights and some big days and the Hajj and the Umrah. All this is for repentance and turning towards Him. For outwardly, the day is of 24 hours. The day is still of 24 hours. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday, Friday. Then what difference does it make? But if a person has got a mother who is very pretty, and he has got a daughter also who is very pretty and young, and he has got a sister also who is very pretty and young, so does it mean the relationship between his daughter, his wife, his mother and himself is all going to be the same? His love for the mother is going to be of a different kind. His love for the wife is going to be of a different kind. His love for his sister is going to be of a different kind. So in the same way, outwardly the days seem the same, the hours are the same, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts certain kind of barakat and rahmat in certain days. And especially in the month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala just opens the floodgates of rahmat. But if the rain is pouring, as I explained the other day too, if the rain is pouring and the person is in a jungle and he has got a pail with him, and the only way that he can survive and not suffer hunger or thirst, the only way he can survive is by getting some water into the pail and then drinking it. But he turns the pail upside down. So then even if the rain is pouring, nothing is going to fill into that container. So in this month of Ramadan, there is no doubt Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat and mercy knows no bounds. But what Allah ta'ala wants from us is that sincere repentance and tawbah. And I've explained this before and I repeat, that when we talk about sincere repentance and tawbah, it means that the person must first distance himself from that sin. He must have no intention of returning to that sin again. He must make istighfar. And at the same time, if it involves the rights of others, then no matter how much of astaghfirullah he reads in the masjid, no matter how much of nafil namazes he makes in the masjid, and no matter how much of hajj and umrahs he makes, but that those rights of others, if they are not fulfilled, then this person is not absolved from sin. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not forgive him. So therefore, if it is property which has come through to him, which was not rightfully belonging to him, because the inheritance, we know what the Islamic laws of inheritance are. So the person did not make a Sharia will, and this person got it because of the government laws. So that is also not legal according to Islam. Or the person got money which was given to him as payment, interest on the loan that this person had given. Now all these type of things, the rights of others, or if he has harmed and injured any person's feelings, then we have to seek forgiveness from those people. That is tawbah. Then of course the namazas, roza, zakat, hajj, whichever it has become qaza, then he starts fulfilling. One young person once told me, he says, Maulana, you'll talk about becoming walis of Allah. After listening to one of the talks by Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib and then sitting in your majlis, he says, I've really got the desire to become a wali. But how can I become a wali? It's impossible for me to become a wali. Because there is no sin in the world that I have not committed. I told him, brother, you don't have to despair of the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that is what those ayats of the Quran Sharif mean, where Allah ta'ala says, Inna Allah ghafoorur raheem. Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. That means those people who are now sad, they're expressing remorse and regret that they did not do those things which were pleasing to Allah, and now they want to make amends. Then they must not despair of the mercy of Allah. Even if that person's sins are like the waves of the ocean, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive. But what does it mean then? I said, you can become a wali of Allah in 1 minute. I can make you a wali of Allah. He says, how can that be? I said, simple as this, that you make sincere tawbah, that Ya Allah, whatever sins I committed in the past, from the time I became mature and of age, I am making sincere tawbah, I will not return to those sins. In future, I will never commit those sins again. Forgive all the sins that I committed in the past, and in future, I resolve that I am not going to return to them. And I express great regret and remorse. Now, after having made that tawbah, this person is already a wali of Allah. But to prove that his tawbah was sincere, and it was not just lip service, astaghfirullah, to prove that now, he will have to keep the namaz, make those salats which he missed. And it is quite obvious and clear that if he missed 10,000 namazes, he cannot make the qaza in 1 day's time. If that person missed 20 or 30 fasts, he cannot keep that in 1 day's time. If that person is owing hundreds of thousands of rands, he may not be able to pay it in 1 day's time. So to show that he was sincere in his tawbah now, he must go to those people whom he had harmed, those people whose property he had taken unjustly and illegally, and go and tell them that I have made tawbah, I have asked Allah for forgiveness, now give me some time, I will make sure that I will pay you, or ask for forgiveness and have it waived off. And the namazes that he missed, start making the qaza. That will prove that this person was sincere in his tawbah. And if he's going to make a tawbah like that, then he is a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this month of Ramadan, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave us on the one hand to ask for forgiveness for all the sins that we have committed. Because as I explained, that there are many times that we are making tawbah. Yes, accidentally again, if that person commits a sin, then if a person slips in the gutter, when falls in the gutter, that gutter in which there is dirty water that is running, he slipped over a banana peel and fell, then what is his duty to do? Immediately he must get up, he must rush to the bathroom, he must have a shower, change his clothes and put on some perfume, and he will be smelling fresh again. So this person who has accidentally again committed sin, then no matter even if he commits 100 times, but if he keeps making tawbah like this, that he is sincere, but just nafs and temptation got him, and again he slipped and fell, then that is different. But the person who is persistent, he just goes on and on, and he says, I'm making tawbah, Allah Ta'ala is ghafoorur raheem. Then it is like that person who is enjoying that falling into that gutter. That means he is enjoying it. He does not consider it as anything serious. So here there are many people, many of us, we are making tawbah. But when the person is making tawbah in the masjid on a Jummah day, or he's making tawbah on Laylatul Qadr, or he's making tawbah on Eid day, but at the time of tawbah, that person has got the chips of the casino in his pocket. And he's got every program, plan of going back to that casino that evening. Now that is not Tawbah. Or that person has got the numbers of his girlfriend in the diary there, and he knows that after I come out from this masjid, I'm going to make a call again. So now that is not Tawbah. That is a mockery of Tawbah. But if that person accidentally again, he was tempted and he fell for the temptation, then we will say that that person will be inshallah forgiven. Usse kushti to hai umr bhar ki, kabhi tu dabale, kabhi wo dabale. Hazrat Khwaja Azizul Hasan Rahmatullah Alayh, he says that this fight and this wrestling match between shaitan and ourselves, it will continue until our dying day. Sometimes we will overpower shaitan and nafs, and sometimes shaitan and nafs will overpower us. Jo nakam hota rahe umr bhar bhi, baharhal koshish to aashiq na chode. Jo nakam hota rahe umr bhar bhi, baharhal koshish to aashiq na chode. Ye rishta mohabbat ka qaim hi rakhe, jo 100 baar toote to 100 baar jode. He says that this person, even if he is unsuccessful, he is making every effort to come right, to come on track, to become pious, righteous, to become God conscious and to become obedient to Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he is falling, all the time he is falling. Then this person should not lose hope because he is making a sincere effort. Even if he fails 100 times, he must get up and carry on. Inshallah, one day he will reach his destination. So my brothers, the time has almost expired. What I want to give you the short message in this today's Jummah khutbah is this, that just as we become so strong at the time of iftar, we become so strong that we will not listen to any person in the world, no matter of what pious rank he may be, to open our fast 2 minutes before iftar. In the same way, when we go out of the masjid today, we must question ourselves that is this my condition and is this my attitude towards everything in life? That is my Allah pleased with me or not? This action which I am undertaking, is my Allah pleased with me or not? Because we cannot do without Allah. Those people who believe that they can do without Allah, then they are fools, they are stupid and foolish. Because it is Allah in whose hands the person's life and everything lies. Where can we turn away from Allah and go? Where can we go? The breathing, the air that we breathe, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala just stops that breathing mechanism of ours, then that's the end of life. The water, the food, everything, it is Allah Ta'ala who is providing through different sources. Therefore, I conclude, it will take 2 minutes more, but inshallah everything will finish on time, with that example, because there are many people who are listening out today who may not have heard this example, that one little child was brought to my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuh, and he offered this child a toffee. So the child turned his face away and looked at the father. Because we teach our children, don't accept anything from strangers. So the child turned his face. So the father said, take it. When the father said, take it, the child took the toffee. So my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuh, that Arif Billah, he says, we take a lesson from everything. Look at this child. The child was taught that don't accept things from strangers. So therefore, when I gave the toffee, I was a stranger, the child did not accept. But when the father said, yes, take it, so the child took it. He says, this is how a Muslim should be, that for every action of his, this child looked at its Abba, the Muslim should look at his Rabbah. For everything he should look at his Rabbah. That means look at Allah. Is my Allah pleased with this action of mine or not? If Allah Ta'ala says this is halal, then accept it. If Allah Ta'ala says it is haram, then reject it. No matter how pretty that woman may be, no matter how tempting those $100,000 may be, no matter how tempting those containers may be, no matter how tempting the stolen goods may be, no matter how tempting the other sins may be, but the person looks at his Rabbah and he says, oh Allah, what is your order? What is your instruction? Can I accept it or not? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, no, this is haram for you. So this person turns his face away. If only we can develop this consciousness in the month of Ramadan, then indeed we have benefited tremendously from this holy month. But if not, then it means that we have only starved ourselves, we have only stayed away from food and drink. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq to practice on what I preach, and may Allah Ta'ala in this Mubarak month shower His mercy and blessings upon each and every one in the Ummat. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties and hardships that the Ummat is facing all over the world. May Allah Ta'ala strengthen our iman and yaqeen and trust and faith in Him.